Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from our Holy Gospel in Mark chapter 9. And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. This is God's word. Please be seated. Something funny happened recently in my life and in our family. In 16 and a half years of marriage, knew that would get Heather's attention, I've made a bad habit of making jokes about sweets. Being what I thought was mostly German myself, used to joke about the only good things that come out of Sweden, besides my wife, are IKEA and Lutefisk. And IKEA's cheap furniture and Lutefisk is Lutefisk. But now I live in a house that's almost entirely filled with IKEA furniture. And I just got a DNA test for Christmas, and I came back and said I'm 68% Scandinavian, which I don't even know how that's possible. So maybe I have to reevaluate my opinion of all things Swedish. Actually, one of the best pieces of Christian literature has come out of Sweden. And it came out about 70 years ago. A pastor and Lutheran bishop in Sweden named Bo Geertz wrote one of the classic pieces of Swedish literature, a book that was a bestseller in his country. It's called The Hammer of God. And it was translated into English several decades ago. I can't commend it to you enough to pick it up and read it. It's three short stories of pastors who were in Sweden dealing with the challenges that face the church and sort of each have their own crisis of faith. And oddly enough, I was just rereading that book this week because I do read it about once a year. It's like one of my favorite books. And there's the story in there of this young pastor named Fridfelt in the city of Odessa, Sweden, a fictional town, in the late 1800s. And this young pastor, Fridfelt, is serving in a church in this town where the area has been influenced by what they called revivalism. And in the churches, there was this emphasis not so much on things like confession of sins and absolution or receiving the Lord's Supper, but rather on your personal commitment to Jesus Christ. That's what it truly meant to be a Christian, that you were committed, that you gave yourself to Him. And despite everyone's efforts and commitment in the story, Fridfelt finds that everyone remains a poor, miserable sinner all the same. And towards the end of this story, the young pastor Fridfelt, he's unprepared for his sermon. And he's questioning his own commitment to Jesus Christ. So he's unprepared for his sermon. He grabs this book of sermons and he preaches on the same text we just heard from Mark 9, Jesus' transfiguration. And the text of the sermon focuses on the words I just read to you. Looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them, but Jesus only. What a wonderful verse for us today, because certainly the same troubles that plagued Fridfelt and his Swedish congregation are the same problems that we face here in the Church of God on earth today. The Transfiguration gives us Peter, James, and John on top of a mountain, and they see Jesus in all His glory. Mark tells us that He's transfigured. His clothes become radiant and intensely white as no one on earth could bleach them. And then Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets of the Old Testament, appear with Jesus. And Peter can't help but say, because he doesn't know what else to say, "Lord, it's good to be here. Let's build tents for you and Moses and Elijah. Let's stay here on the mountain." And then this voice comes out of heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him." What a moment. There's nothing like it in all the New Testament. And yet, in an instant, it's all gone. And after all of this, Mark says, they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. So I ask you today, when everything glorious fades away from your eyes, will you see Jesus only? Will you be the one who looks for Jesus and rejoices in where he's found? That was the problem in the days of Pastor Fridfelt in Sweden, that the people weren't looking to Jesus and only to themselves. They were looking to their own commitments, and certainly there was problems in the land in that time of alcoholism and gambling, and people said, if you want to be a real Christian, you've got to give up those vices. You've got to cast aside sin. You need to be pure in heart if you are a true follower of God. And so rather than looking to Jesus, they looked to themselves. They could pat themselves on the back and say, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. Look at what a Christian I am. That's a cancer that plagues the church even today. Because you see, we want mountaintop experiences like Peter and James and John experienced on top of the mountain with Jesus, where he was transfigured in his glory, and the prophets, Moses and Elijah, appeared with him, and the voice of God spoke from heaven. That is, in essence, what we want our Christian faith to be like, isn't it? We want it to be like a mountaintop experience. We want coming to church on Sunday morning to be like we stared at the face of God himself, and we're moved and we're touched. And we can't help but go forth singing his praises. We want true Christians who do good works, who have good things happen to them, who experience good feelings instead of bad feelings. We want true churches that have lots of growth, amazing experience, and lots of good feelings as well. Christians who help the needy, change lives. They get a lot of things, and so they give a lot of things. Churches that do mission trips and outreach. They bring in lots of money so they can give lots of money. All of those things are good things, but you know what? They don't last. Because when you strip it all away, the question remains. Do you see Jesus and Jesus only? Jesus, we read in our gospel today, it says, as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Because after all the glory of the mountain had faded away, all that was left was Jesus going to his cross to die for the sins of the world. The Father said, listen to him. And ironically, Jesus goes on in Mark's gospel over the next couple chapters, three times he says to his disciples that he will die. He will suffer and die and then rise again. The Father says, listen to him. Because when everything glorious has gone away, when you want to be a good Christian, and you realize you haven't really lived up to it, when you want us to be an exciting, invigorating church that does all these wonderful things, but we're not, ask yourself, is there Jesus? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews, folly to the Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. A few verses later, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. A lot of times we get wrapped up in lamenting what we've lost. I remember being in about 7th, 8th grade or so, when Fred Strassi was my Sunday school teacher, and he gifted me one year for Christmas with a one-year Bible. You had a reading every day of the year. You read an Old Testament reading, a New Testament reading, and the Psalms and the Proverbs, and I was eager to read the Bible. I read through the one-year Bible 2 times in 7th and 8th grade. I was just a voracious reader of the Bible, and yet it's, you know, I've never really been like that again. I mean, I still enjoy reading the Scriptures, studying God and His Word, but there's this longing to go back to when you just couldn't read enough of Scripture, a lamenting of what's not there anymore. And maybe you feel the same way. You look back at a time in your life, boy, I did all these things. I was active in helping others, studying the Bible, praying and reading, but it doesn't seem like I do that anymore. What's wrong with me? We do it to our church as well. Oh, we're not as big as we used to be. Some have left and gone to other churches. We don't do the things that we used to do. You are not the church. You are not God's children because of how many people are in the pews, how many good things we're doing. You are not the church because of how many kids are in Sunday school or how much money's coming into the plate. You are the church because of Jesus only. You are the church because your good shepherd calls to you his sheep and you come to hear his voice. Martin Luther said in the Large Catechism, the church is nothing more than sheep listening to the voice of their shepherd. Over the last few months, as I've kind of reacquainted myself with our Redeemer, I confess I'm kind of tempted by what every new pastor goes through. Oh, we should do this and we should do that, or we haven't been doing this, we should do that. No. We need Jesus only. Jesus conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Jesus born of the Virgin Mary, the Jesus that suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The same Jesus proclaimed from this pulpit, given from this altar to the people of God for decades. The same Jesus given to the Church of God for 2,000 years. The same Jesus promised to Israel in the Old Testament. The same Jesus of whom the Father says, listen to him. And so, dear friends in Christ here at our Redeemer, I want to call you to repentance today, as I call myself to repentance. For chasing after glorious mountaintops, thinking that the church is somehow found in how big or amazing or wonderful we are. Just look at the cross. See him suffer for you. See him pay your debt of sin. See him shed his blood. See him bow his head in death. On this Wednesday, we'll begin that holy season of Lent. Because I'm tempted to chase after mountaintops, I do things like look at attendance records and stuff like that. Lent's not been real well attended over the last many years. Well, you're not a true Christian because you come to Lenten services, but if you would see Jesus only, see the one who gives himself for you, then come. And we will show him to you. Because he gives you his body and blood. He invites you to come and receive. And the Father invites you to listen to the voice of the Son. Our theme this year in Lent will be baptism. Remembering who God has called us to be in baptism. I think that'll be a necessary reminder for all of us why our baptism is so significant. And through it, God grant that we would see Jesus only, and in him find the respite for our sins, the forgiveness that we crave and need, the forgiveness from our Lord, who is Lord over sin, death, doubt, and all of our glory chasing of which we are guilty. To him, the one who's transfigured on the mountain, be the glory. And even when the glory is hidden from our eyes and we see nothing but Jesus and his cross, may we rejoice that it is enough. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.